Join Ian Garlick as we uncover the hidden marketing stories that shape our world, reveal the latest marketing tactics that will shape your future, and the amazing people that grow organizations, movements, and businesses. Learn to grow your business and shape the world around you. Welcome to the Garlick Marketing Show with Ian Garlick. And yes, it's Ian, not Ian. That's marketing too.
All right. We're going to talk on this very special Garlick Marketing Show about getting in the door with those big companies, with B2B companies in these uncertain times. The three simple keys to a prospecting process with my great friend, David Newman, who is the expert from Do It Marketing. David, say hi.
Hey.
And we're going to talk about how to get in with a $3 billion company, the magic phrase for your email and LinkedIn, the two major important things that you need to be doing right now, why you have so much head trash, how to overcome your head trash, what to do to, you have to do daily. And it's called making the decision to win, how to make it, how to find the right support, the last thing you want from your community, and how to get the most out of your community, like David's community we're going to talk about. But of course, this is brought to you by Video Case Stories. One of the best ways to get in the door, close bigger deals, is with amazing customer stories. Go to videocasestory.com/get started to apply so we can help you collect, craft, and deliver those. All right, let's get started. My first question is, I'm guessing you're not a millennial. So
I'm old, man. I am old. I'm ancient like dirt.
Do you remember when we look back, we're like, oh, times were so certain before and they're uncertain now. I'm like, wasn't it always a time of uncertainty?
It certainly was. You can go back, and again, I'm not this old, but you could go back to the 1970s and the oil crisis. You can go back to the 1980s and the Black Monday?
Black Friday.
Stock market implosion. You could look at various recessions and depressions. And some of the younger kids, younger being a relative term, might remember 9/11, obviously September 11, 2001. And that was really the beginning of the normalization of disruption. Because then we had the economic meltdown of 2007, 2008. We had the echo meltdown of 2011. Then, of course, COVID in 2020 and Russian war, God knows what, in 2022 and Israel in 2023. There's always going to be something. Global pandemic, war of the moment, economic meltdown, this sector, that sector, this whole, hey, everything is smooth, everything is easy. I agree with you. Those days are over.
Yeah. And I think I really feel that there's so many people talking about this that people are like, I'm going to wait till it's certain to start marketing and selling.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck with that.
Good luck. Yeah. You've got, I remember, not that I love the pandemic came out, but I was like, oh, this is a huge opportunity. I put a video out to all my clients. I'm like, this is your biggest marketing opportunity ever because everyone's going to stop marketing. Go market the crap out of it. And I think it's those times of uncertainty. You look back on the best companies, the biggest companies, they're all built at the most uncertain times. And
Very true.
And so then there's that opportunity, especially if you're a consultant, coach, and agency, to get in there when everyone's, oh, this isn't working. We started our original agency 2008, like late 2008, early 2009. Everyone's like, you're crazy. I'm like, thank you for telling me that, because that means I'm doing it right.
Let me reframe this, because a lot of times consultants and coaches and trainers, agency owners, they think, oh my gosh, this is so terrible. We're a nice to have. We're the first ones to get cut. We're the first vendor to get fired. Mm-hmm. And I want you to reframe that thinking that you're not an agency owner. You're not a consultant. You're not just a trusted advisor. You're a professional problem solver. So when there's more problems and bigger problems and scarier problems, the services of a professional problem solver, the demand for those services goes up. It does not go down. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Mm-hmm. Like you said, with the pandemic, something happens and we take our foot off the gas, when that's the time to double down, help more, serve more, connect more, and be more of a resource to your target market.
I love it. Yeah, it's so true. It's a tough mindset to get into. And I want to talk about I want to talk about the tactics for getting in with these, especially in times of uncertainty, when there's, so you don't know if the whole C-suite's going to change. Yeah. But before that, how do you develop that mindset of keeping the foot on the gas. I know you've got a program. I'm sure that, tell me a little bit about your program and how you coach the people in your program to keep their foot on the gas. Because I hear this all the time. People are like, oh, I got to stop marketing. This is happening, or this is happening. I got to stop my sales because my team's too small. My team's too big. I don't have this person. I don't have that person. I can't sell.
It's all of those excuses. You're absolutely right. It's raining. I can't do it. It's sunny. I can't do it. Whatever. We do have a coaching and mentoring company. Our flagship program is called Do It MBA, which stands for Marketing Business Accelerator. And I think there's a couple of aspects to answer your question about how do we instill this growth mindset into an agency owner or a consultant who might otherwise be wanting to hide under their desk. Number one, I think it's getting back in touch with your value and getting back in touch with your impact. So this is where your genius, my friend, with the video case stories, sometimes one of your clients needs to go back and rewatch the videos that you helped them create.
100%.
Saying, remember when you saved this company? Remember when you saved this leadership team? Remember when this board of directors was about to, you know, implode and you came on the scene and rescued the whole situation? So getting back in touch with the fact that we are professional problem solvers, reminding yourself of all the thank you notes, all of the acknowledgments, all the messages that you've gotten, the handwritten cards, and understanding that this is your time to step up and serve. So number one is getting in touch with your value. Number two is understanding that when times are tough, when times are uncertain, when everything hits the fan and your prospects are losing their minds, you're the source of security. You're the source of stability. You're the source of optimism. You're the source of hope that you're the Sherpa that's going to navigate them through this very treacherous, very tricky mountain path that's now been thrown in front of all of us. And why in the world would you, let's say we're a lifeguard and there's a whole bunch of people drowning in the ocean. You go, oh, I can't go in the water. It's scary. It looks like some people are drowning. That's when they need you. That's when you need to get out there, swim out, save as many people as you can, and understand that you're giving a life-saving or business-saving or career-saving service. And for you to stay quiet and you to stay small is doing a huge disservice to your industry.
Yes. Yeah. And I think there's a huge point to this too, because I know some of the best people are always have that head trash in them. Always the best people do. And it's the people that really probably shouldn't be selling as hard are out there telling everyone they've got the solution.
Absolutely right. 1,000%. That imposter syndrome. There was a stand-up comedian who put it exactly the way that you just said. He says, oh, that imposter syndrome where you don't think you're good enough. You don't think you're smart enough. He says, all the wrong people have that syndrome, right? It's the idiots who are full of confidence and the blowhards who are out there blowing smoke and nonsense. Those are the people that have no confidence problem. It's the highly ethical, highly trained, highly skilled, highly service-minded people that are saying, oh, I'm not good enough. And it is totally overcomable, but you have to be aware of it. And I think the first piece of the overcoming it is just realizing that it's happening and dialing the volume down on that voice of judgment and that imposter syndrome that creeps up.
Yes. And I think this is so important. Like, I'm not here to completely just sell your stuff, but this is where coaching and consulting comes in. And I'm always looking for coaching and consultants to put me through this. Just talking about the other day, because I'm like, I don't know if I'm good at this. I wrote a book, video case stories, done thousands of them. And I'm like, I don't know if I know what I'm doing.
Totally, totally.
How often do your best people, I'm sure like you're like, you've got some amazing people who are really good at what they do in there. How often do they have to overcome this?
I'm gonna answer that with a quick story. I was sitting down with a reality star, and it wasn't Survivor, it was some other show, but they were out in the jungle for 90 days or something. No food, no nothing. They had to forage. They were covered in bugs and bites and so forth. And I sat down with this guy and I said, how in the world do you get through something like that? He says, you have to make the decision to win, not just once. You have to make the decision to win sometimes 100 times a day. 100 times a day. Now, that was a lot because he's being eaten by bugs and it's 20 degrees below zero at night and he's got like a nice sweater or something. But I love that. This guy won the competition and he said, I had to re-decide to win 100 times a day. So people go, oh, I'm not feeling it today. I'm not feeling it. And say, hey, it might be 5 times a day that you got to get back in the horse, get back in the game and keep moving forward. And the decision to win is sometimes made 100 times a day.
That's such great advice because I think social media is telling us that these people get up in the morning and they're like, I'm awesome at going and selling my services. You should be selling as much as me. And just so easy throughout the day. And then I'm done at 3 o'clock because this is easy. And it's not really that way for the people that really win, is it?
Absolutely not. Our very best clients, they have all the same problems that everyone else has. They have two things that others might not. Number one is a sense of perspective. Number two is a sense of resilience, that they've gone through hard things before. They've navigated paths like this in other situations. The mental game there is, I know what I'm doing. I have the tools. I have the support. I have the resources. I have the community. Let's keep going, even when it gets hard. Even when we hit the brick walls, even when we hit the dead ends, I know that I've got the resources, the tools, and the team to help me get to my destination. So I think that is a hugely important thing that's not easy for any of us. Everyone fails. Everyone stumbles. The successful people just don't stay there very long. They don't stay on the sidelines. They don't stay crying in their coffee for too long. They do it a little bit, but they stay there a lot less than most people would.
Yes. Yeah. They stay there to get back up and they know it's all part of it, right? It's just right. Getting back up. But you said a few words that I think we use really quickly and you said them quickly and we don't get into them. It's support and community.
Yes.
And when looking for that support and community, I think I've been in the wrong, had the wrong support, had the wrong community. And had the right support and right community, and it's a huge difference.
Yeah.
How do people find that right support and that right community? Because we're not right for everyone.
True. Absolutely. So I think as far as our community, our client community,
yeah.
What I always tell people is, listen, you're used to being in the front of the room. You're used to being the consultant, the corporate trainer, the executive coach that has all the answers, that has all the wisdom, that has all the brilliance that you're sharing with your clients. When you go into a community or a coaching type of relationship, the last thing you want is to be the smartest guy or gal in that room. You want to be surrounded by people who are anywhere from 2 to 10 steps ahead of where you are, because any game that you play, you will always sharpen your skills by playing with someone who's playing at a higher level.
Yes.
So that's whether someone's making $300,000 a year, they'd love to get to 500K. What's the answer? Hang out with some people making 500K. The 500K people want to hit 7 figures, hang out with a bunch of 7-figure business owners. Watch how they think. Connect with how they process challenges. Observe them, model them when they hit an obstacle or a roadblock. What do they think? What do they say? How do they respond? And the moment that you start taking on the behaviors of that next level business owner, you will slowly, maybe even not so slowly, become that next level business owner. But before you see the results in your bank account, you first need to see the results and create the results in yourself. So this is where we talk about act as if, right? So someone's making 300K, they want to get to 1 million. The question is, what would a 7-figure business owner do? Someone's at 1 million, wants to get to 3 million. What would a $3 million business owner do? And they go, oh, David, not what I'm doing right now. No, not what you're doing right now. Something different. And again, not necessarily better, but they would process it differently. They would respond to it differently. They wouldn't let it take them out of the game for a week. They'd maybe have a pity party for 2 hours and then get back on and keep moving. So I think that peer group, that circle of colleagues and co-conspirators, and it doesn't have to be in a coaching program. It could be your personal circle of friends. It could be a mastermind group that you join. It could be something in your community or in your industry. But please find a way to connect with people that are anywhere from 2 to 10 steps beyond where you are, so that you can learn from them, model them, and sample their brainwaves on a regular basis.
Yeah, and they shouldn't necessarily be the better at everything than you, right? It's what do you need to get better at? I was listening to Arnold Schwarzenegger's biography or new book today, and it was like he talked about when he became an actor. He named off all the coaches he had, and yeah. It's boom. And like that's an important part of it too. And so when you're building this community, when you're building your community, what are you looking for the people that you're bringing in to help out as your clients? Because I'm sure you just don't take everyone in.
No, we don't. And we made that mistake early on as well. We really paid the price. We're looking for people who are fast, brave, and smart. I've done a lot of thinking about this. So that's why the answer comes so easily. Fast, brave, and smart means that they are fast to take action. They are brave in the face of adversity and doing hard things. And smart is not book smarts. Smart is they're able to learn from their mistakes. They're coachable, they're open, they're ready, they're hungry. And there's a difference between hungry and starving also, because we used to help the starving people. And you get your fingers bit off when you help starving people. So don't put your hand in the mouth of a starving person. It's not going to be good. But fast, brave, and smart. And I love what you said a moment ago about the Arnold book. Going to people that are not necessarily smarter than you, but going to people who know differently, right? Who yes. know different or think different. So everyone has their own superpower. So when we're putting a client community together, one of the early questions we ask, even in the sales process, is what are a couple of your superpowers? So when you join our community, what are some of the things that you feel really confident and really fun to help some other people with? And some will say, oh, I'm really great at writing copy. I'm really great at social media. I'm really awesome at asking great questions. I can really simplify the complex and make it easy to understand. Great. If someone says, I don't really know, I'm not really sure I have any superpowers, that's a red flag, right? Because the self-image and the self-motivation to say, I'm really awesome at a couple things and I need some help in a couple of other areas. And so obviously our team, me and the coaches, we can help them with all of these things, but I don't want them to show up disempowered. I want them to show up empowered and excited, not just to learn and not just to be mentored, but to mentor others and to contribute. And you know this, Ian, because I'm sure coming up in both of our entrepreneurial careers, sometimes the best way to learn something is to teach somebody else. Yep. That's, oh, that's how it works. That's pretty cool. And I was learning it, but then I quantum leaped my learning when I started teaching others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And teach what you know, right? But it's like you're learning it, but you teach, you don't have to be the best at it right now, but you do get better. And the zero plus minus philosophy, I don't know if you're familiar with that, where it's you should always have someone who's equal with you, someone who's below you that you're bringing up, and someone who's above you in that.
Yes.
And that's how we get better.
Absolutely right.
And yeah, there's some great books on that too. And this is fantastic. And I love talking about your community, but we want to talk marketing tactics too.
Yes.
Right now, it's crazy. Is it a recession? Is it not a recession? The stock market's up, stock market's down. Everyone's getting laid off. There's brand new companies making trillions of dollars. ChatGPT, AI is going to take over all of our jobs.
Yeah.
How are you cutting through the noise and getting in with these B2B leaders who are now being bombarded?
Yeah. So I think the two keys to unlock prospecting and business development and a door opening campaign in the middle of Crazy Town is to acknowledge the Crazy Town. So for example, if you're marketing and prospecting the same way you were in 2021, but we have the environment that we have right now in 2023, that comes across as totally tone deaf and totally irrelevant, totally tone deaf, tuned out, and irrelevant. If you're saying in your marketing, in your messaging, in your social posts, in your emails, in your prospecting conversations, listen, this is a crazy upside down time. There's AI, there's all kinds of disruption, there's the economy, recession, inflation, uncertainty. This is the environment in which we help our clients. This is you talking. This is the, and again, pick the topic, leadership, sales, marketing, strategy, innovation. We have clients in all these different areas. So you have to acknowledge the current environment. Step two, they tell you, oh, Ian, this is a terrible time in our industry. Everything is upside down. Our company's fighting for its existence. We're having an existential crisis. Will AI eat all of our lunches and robots will take over our brains? You listen to all of that. Terrible time, recession, depression, layoffs, hiring freezes, job cuts, whatever they're doing. You take a nice deep breath. And here's the line I want everyone to practice. Take a nice deep breath and say, I know. That's why we're talking. That's the line. I know. That's why we're talking. All of my clients are going through the same exact recession, craziness, uncertainty, job cuts, hiring freezes, can't hire consultants. I had one of my clients who is, in fact, a consultant. He was working with a company. This was only a few weeks ago. And they're going through all this uncertainty and craziness and head trash. And he thinks, I have no idea how to close this deal. They're nervous. They're skittish. They're uncertain. Everything is up in the air. I said, so what have they told you so far about the way that they work with consultants? He says, they really don't like consultants. I said, great. What are you? And he paused and he thought for a second. And he goes, I'm not a consultant, am I? I said, no, you're not a consultant. So what in your proposal, in your next conversation, tell them that you are going to help them implement a path, a plan, a system, and a framework so that they can do what they want to do without using consultants. Now, here's the clever mind trick. He is a consultant. Don't tell the client. He is a consultant because I'm going to install the ability in your company. I'm going to help you so that you never have to rely on outside consultants, says the outside consultant. Isn't that brilliant? That is just complete genius.
Yes.
And the punchline of the story, Ian, he closed the deal, $175,000 deal. And I don't want you to have to rely on consultants because consultants are the enemy. Consultants are the bad guy. We're paying $175,000 to a consultant. Yes, you are, because I'm going to help you avoid consultants in the future. But that was a master stroke.
It is a master stroke, but then you have to, then he has to deliver, right?
Yes. And he really can. He really can. Knowing the substance of his business and his expertise, that's not a hollow promise. That's not just a clever tagline. He can deliver and he will deliver on that promise, but it's about reframing the sales conversation when they're fearful, when they're hesitant, when they're resistant. Strategy number one, I know, that's why we're talking. And then depending on what they're afraid of, what they want more of, what they want less of, tell them that working with you will give you more of the good stuff and less of the bad stuff.
Simple, but not easy.
Yeah, true.
And when you're trying to get in with these people now, what's the messaging that you're seeing that's working? We're talking about, you don't recommend funnels. You don't recommend any of this crazy stuff.
That's right.
What are you seeing that's working right now, getting in the doors of these bigger companies?
So most of my clients do not need hundreds and hundreds of deals a year. Literally 10 to 12 clients a year, and they're full and they're making $500,000 to $1.5 million. So these are typically 50,000, 100,000, sometimes multi six-figure deals that they're landing. So we simply need to replace the idea of quantity with quality. So how do you start to have quality conversations with prospects that have a nice big budget? I think the first thing is you deciding who is a great client for you, who is not a great client for you. So I've got one client, for example, who says, David, I've made a decision. I'm crystal clear on this. It's global pharmaceutical companies with more than 10,000 employees. I said, wow, that's really clear. I said, how'd you come to that? He says, well, I come out of pharma. So pharma's, I've got the right names to drop and the right stories to tell. It needs to be global because my wife and I love to travel. So can we go to Paris? Can we go to Rome? Can we go to Athens? Can we go to Dubai? Can we go to Vancouver? Yes. Why 10,000 employees? They have 10,000 employees. They have a lot of people they need to train. And those training contracts are going to be big. So pharma, right names to drop and the right stories to tell. Global, because I like to travel, so that business is going to fit their lifestyle. Number three, 10,000 employees, You got a lot. This is a training contract. This is not a one-off class. These are long-term training contracts. As soon as you zero in on global pharmaceutical companies with 10,000 employees, it now becomes like shooting fish in a barrel. You know where to speak. You know where to post. You know where to accidentally on purpose do some networking. You know what conferences to go to. You know what associations to hang out in. You know what Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups to start adding value. You know what kind of publications to start posting your articles in. Everything becomes clear. Everything becomes very paint by numbers. It's the folks that are struggling who are willing to take any client from any industry, anytime, anywhere, at any fee. Those people are having a hard time because they're a wandering generality.
Yes. And why? It's interesting. So I was talking to someone the other day, and they're very much this, right? They're like, we've worked with these big companies, but we also want to work with small companies. We also want to work at this. I don't have a niche. You can't niche me. We can serve everyone. Why are these people so afraid to do this? And how do you help them overcome that?
My only theory there, Ian, is they don't like money. They just don't like money. Here's how I free people up with this. I'm not ever saying turn away a check. Some client comes to you, says, Ian, here's $50,000. You're the guy. We've been following you forever. We know you can help us. Here's 50 grand. You are not going to say, I'm sorry. You are not in the waste disposal industry. I'm not able to cash your check. Thank you. Please go somewhere else. So you can always take what comes. If your business model is take what comes, you don't have a business. You have a practice or a hobby. So the front end of this, I tell folks, target what you want. And you can always take what comes. So target what you want is your proactive activity. Take what comes. That's going to come anyway. That's gravy, right? That's the extra. Someone sees an article. Someone finds you. They're not in your target market. You can do great work for them. You know exactly what they want. You know exactly what they need. You're happy to do that work. It's in your wheelhouse. Take the check. Mm-hmm. But when you say, I'm just going to take whatever comes in the door, whatever falls in my lap, whatever comes out of the blue, that's not a business. So proactively, you have to target what you want, and you can always take what comes.
Yes. And to your point, then when you target what you want, it makes it a lot easier to prospect, doesn't it?
And get referrals and get introductions, and everything else becomes easier.
Yes. Yes. And from the targeting and outreach standpoint in these clients, uncertain times, I've decided, hey, I'm pharmaceuticals or whatever. I build out this list. What is our marketing and sales cadence to those people, to this prospecting? What do you find working? Is it talk to them all the time, send them 20 emails, send them a watch?
All of those sound like terrible ideas. So we're not sending watches. We're not sending 20 emails. We're not constantly barraging them. I always say, think of the way that you would treat a friend. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, super simple, but no one thinks of this. They use very formal language. They have like bizarre kinds of requests. Like they'll send one email that has 7 requests in it. So number one, slow down. And the 3 keys to a prospecting strategy that's going to be very easy for you to implement: research, relevance, and relationship. So research is doing your homework. Initially, that can just be 10 or 15 minutes of research on their website, on their LinkedIn profile, listening to webcasts or podcasts where their CEO or their top executives have been presenting. Going to their web page, going to the media page or the press release page, seeing what they're proud of, seeing what new announcements they're making, seeing how they're doing in the financial markets, all of those things. That's the research piece. Relevance is find something in that research that connects to an area where you can help them. If the CEO just said in the annual letter, in their annual report, hey, we're a $3 billion company, we're going to get to $5 billion in the next 24 months. Do you have a service? Do you have a product? Do you have some sort of rocket fuel that will help them go from a $3 billion company to a $5 billion company? Whether that's related to leadership, culture, retention, engagement, market share, PR, publicity, professional corporate reputation, whatever you do, is there a connection to what the CEO just said that they want in that annual letter to shareholders. Third thing is relationship. Relationship is when you reach out for an initial exploratory chat using the research, using the relevance. And then here's the magic phrase at the end of that email or the end of that message on LinkedIn. Hey, Bob, I see that you have this recruiting challenge. You're opening up a new facility in Kansas City. There's a huge biotech engineering recruiting problem in the Midwest. I have a couple of ideas that might be helpful. Worth a quick chat. The magic line at the end is worth a quick chat. When I say, hey, Bob, I see you're opening a new facility in Kansas City. That's the research. Relevance is research shows that biotech engineers are going to become really scarce in the Midwest. This is a problem that I solve. Would that be worth a quick chat? Number one, I've done my homework. Number two, I know what's happening in the industry. Number three, I'm inviting you to a conversation to explore if there's a reason for us to talk any further. Three lines, three-line email, just like you would send to a friend. So think about prospecting as connecting with friends who simply don't know their friends yet.
I love it. And it's so true. I tell this story all the time, but that's exactly how I got into with a huge insurance company in England to sell them a $150 million building. And this was back when you got a LinkedIn message and people were like, what is this? But like there, you got one every 6 months.
Totally.
Remember when you got mail, you're like, oh my God, I've got mail. And now you're like, oh my God, I hate my email. But it's so simple. I think it's one of those things. Coming back to coaching and consulting, it's like when I consult with other agencies, I'm like, you just got to keep slapping them and be like, don't do that. Don't do that. Like, then they're like, yes. I want to send out 1,000 emails, right? Or I'm going to send out an email saying just standard email, or I'm going to spam it, or I'm going to hire a VA to just spam everyone. And you're like, don't do that. Don't do that.
To do a lot of hand slapping
every single day. But this has been amazing advice, but comes back to the coaching and consulting. So I want to talk a little bit about your program, but tell me a little bit about your manifesto at doitmarketing.com/manifesto.
Yes. So this is a 37-page PDF, and it's part inspiration, part activation, part implementation. And as a manifesto, you would imagine a manifesto would be, it's going to tell you what's right with the world, what's wrong with the world. It's going to bust some myths. It's going to give you some truths. And it's going to give you some marching orders to start doing better every single day with your marketing and your sales and your revenue growth. So it's meant to be a fun, inspiring, cheeky kick in the pants to get you to the next level in your business.
Love it. And you've got an amazing book too. It's a pretty complex name for the book. What is the name of the book?
The name of the book is easy. It's Do It Selling. The subtitle might be a little bit tricky.
I'm just kidding.
Which is, Do It Selling. Do It Selling. And this is really written, Ian. It's written for the people who hate to sell. The folks that are great at doing the work of their work, and they just hate the sales part. They're like, oh God, sales. They hold it up like a little rat with a tail and, oh, can I just get rid of this sales thing? Mm-hmm. And how to make sales easy, effortless, enjoyable, and finally effective, even for people who hate to sell.
Love it. And we'll put a link to all that in the show notes. Tell me a little bit about the Do It MBA.
Sure. So we help people with everything marketing and sales related, from initial contact, like that initial prospecting strategy I mentioned, based on research, relevance, relationship, from initial contact to signed contract. That's our little buzz phrase. So what do you need to do to get in front of the right buyer, negotiate, have an integrated product suite, have a service menu that makes sense to them, build in renewal and retention, client renewal, client retention. So it's not just a one-off transactional deal that you do with that client, but they keep you on for years and they renew and they refer and they recommend like crazy. We talk about proposals. We talk about marketing, positioning, packaging, pricing mistakes that people are making. Almost everyone listening, I don't even have to know anything about your business. Please double your prices. Your prices are too cheap. Your fees are too low. I guarantee you are losing business because your fees are too low and people are afraid of spending money with you because they're thinking, how bad can this be if it's this cheap?
Yes.
So all of those things, the mindset, the skill set, and the tool set to really stimulate some revenue growth in your expertise-based business, that's what we do.
It's amazing to me. I have the worst time with that, with raising my prices, and I need to raise my prices. And it's so hard to do, but that's where the coaching and consulting is. But I just found out from a friend who got me in with a huge company that everyone probably bought something from last week. And we did a big, huge video proposal. I thought it was huge. He's like, yeah, they didn't hire you because you were too cheap. I'm like,
that happens more often than you would think. But I am the gift for you is that you found out, right? Through your friend, you found out.
I know. And it's sickening, but also like, okay, raise the prices. And it's amazing. You raise the prices. And you're like, why didn't I do this before? Now, if you don't know what you're doing and you don't have any case stories and you don't have any success, you got to go in and get, but if you've been doing this for a few years, get the success story, tell the success story, get in the door and raise your prices and get better and better at it and find an amazing coaching and consulting program like yours. So put a link to all of this in the show notes. But Mr. Newman, thank you so much for being on the Garlic Marketing Show. This has been amazing.
Mr. Garlic, a genuine pleasure.
And you have an amazing podcast. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. I was on there. You are a fantastic podcast host, one of my favorites. I really appreciate that. So we'll put a link to that as well. But any last words before we go?
I'm going to give you my three-word mantra that I think with all of these things, if some people are listening to this and go, wow, this seems different, this seems new, a little bit scary. Action eliminates fear. Action eliminates fear. As with all of Ian's podcasts, take one idea and implement. Take one idea and act on it, and you will start to see some amazing progress start to build up.
That's so true. It's so true. My dad told me that action begets action.
Yes.
It's so awesome. That's great advice. David, thank you so much again for being on this. Folks, this is one that you should bookmark, listen to. If you're a coach, consultant, grab the book, follow the podcast, talk to him. If you want to get to that 1 million mark and you're struggling at 200,000, 300,000, talk to him. He knows his stuff. He's not a millennial. No offense to millennials. All right. Thank you for taking David and I on your journey. This has been iGarlic and the Garlic Marketing Show.
Video. You know it'll make you an authority. You know it will get you more leads, better leads that close faster and spend more with you. And video stories will help you be remembered and connect with those perfect clients. The problem is, where do you start? Storycruise.com is the place to go. It's like a film crew with an S. What's your strategy? Do you do it yourself? Do you hire a videographer, an agency? Do you need an editor? How do you know if they really know your business and how to make videos for business that work? The answer to all of this and more can be found at storycruise.com. It is the place to find the latest video marketing strategies, the best gear for your business, as well as videographers, editors, and agencies near you that are trained in video storytelling for business. Go to storycruise.com/garlic to get special insider info for listeners of the Garlic Marketing Show, including special access to several of my courses, including my case story course. Go to storycruise.com/garlic to get a whole bunch of special offers just for listeners of the Garlic Marketing Show. Whether you're looking for a videographer or to do it yourself, go to storycruise.com/garlic to get started today.
That's it for the Garlic Marketing Show. If you want to get the inside scoop and the latest techniques, make sure to follow Ian Garlic on Facebook.